and welcome to Not Shallow, the Thanksgiving episode. I'm Rebecca Collins. I think I can play that sound without any guilt at this time of year, turkey gobbling, because I'm a vegetarian and I'm not going to eat any turkey on Turkey Day. I haven't had a meal of turkey or chicken or beef or pork, etc. since 2000. I bend the rules occasionally to have fish or seafood, and I've knowingly eaten dishes that were made with things like chicken stock. But that's only at a restaurant or at someone's house when I don't want to be the one throwing a shit fit. Or when I just want to eat some refried beans at a restaurant. Damn it. Some people can be real dicks about this. If they catch you eating any flesh, even if they aren't vegetarians themselves, they call you on it. Hey, I thought you were a vegetarian. That's exactly the tone they use, too. By the way, here's what I say. Listen, if in my everyday life I never eat meat and then I go to a restaurant and have, say, 2 tablespoons of chicken broth, you're just going to have to deal. Think of the pounds and pounds of meat I haven't eaten in all these years. 16 years. No hamburgers, no chicken breasts, no bacon. I've missed the entire bacon phenomenon, people. Also, they just need to chill out. I'm not a proselytizer. I don't try to sell anyone on my groovy lifestyle. I tried being a vegan, but I love cheese too much, so I get it. And I have a very, might I say, dramatic reaction to any animal in pain, to the point where I prefer not to be the one to take our dog Freya to the vet, even if it's just to get her shots, which she barely has any physical reaction to at all. I've convinced myself I couldn't eat a burger because I'd be eating pain. So maybe I'm the one with the problem. I'm the weirdo. The other day, I was on the highway and I had to drive by one of those cattle cars, those semis that haul cattle or pigs or whatever in cages. I don't know. I guess I just assume they're going off to their doom. And I couldn't even look over at it because I just kept thinking, what if I make eye contact with one of those pigs or those cows? So I didn't look and I went by going 70, which is really fast for me because I've become a very slow driver. But then the truck driver, for whatever reason, thought that I was like challenging him and, you know, sped up to try to pass me. And I didn't know how to communicate that I did not want to engage in a road race. I just really didn't want to see what was in those cages. This is all a digression just from a turkey gobble, but maybe it's not that big of a digression because in this episode, I'm talking about food and a parade and sitting around with your pants unbuttoned. Because what the hell else is there to talk about when it comes to Thanksgiving? That's why it's the greatest holiday of the year. I grew up having really traditional, fun Thanksgivings. No matter which side of the family we went to, or if we hosted, which that didn't happen very often, but it was always the full Monty, as they say. Turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes or squash with those tiny marshmallows on top, the green bean thing with the crispy onions that you either love or hate, dinner rolls with butter, Jell-O salad, cranberry sauce, which was usually just cranberry from a can and often still retained its can-like shape and lines because no one ever bothered to really spread it out or stir it up. Pecan pie and pumpkin pie, ice cream or whipped cream, depending on your preferences. Sometimes we'd have more than one Thanksgiving, a noon dinner with my dad's side of the family, an evening dinner with my mom's side, and then later on, you know, later, turkey sandwiches and leftovers, just because we could and it was there and we liked to eat. This went on until some point in college when the complexion of my family started to change. Cousins moved away or got married. One of my grandmothers died, etc., etc. I won't get bogged down in the details, but there were a couple of tough years when we had Thanksgiving with my mom's side of the family at a restaurant. I have to admit that didn't feel quite right. I would have rather had turkey burgers at home than sit in the restaurant, but it was what worked at the time. And soon my parents retired to Florida, where they stay for Thanksgiving and celebrate with friends, and we see them at Christmas time. So through a variety of circumstances, Keith and I found ourselves on our own for Thanksgiving. I was alternately elated to be able to eat anything we wanted, and sad that we didn't have a big family to share the holiday with. But there are trade-offs to everything. Over the years, I've listened to a lot of people, a lot of coworkers, talk about their dread of the day. They have to go see so-and-so. They have to go to 2 dinners or 3 dinners. I swear last week I heard someone in the Skyway at work complaining about the fact they might have to go to 4 dinners, which I don't even think that's possible. And it sounds awful. I have none of that to worry about on this day. And for that, I am thankful. I wake up, I putz around the kitchen, I watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. More on that later. I'm still in my pajamas at noon. I feed our dog Freya some fancy cheese. Then the Westminster Dog Show comes on. One year, Freya and I went for a walk and we watched a crow feast on a steak that had been tossed into the middle of the street. Sometimes we'd have Thanksgiving with friends, but we're still on the hook to figure out how to have a vegetarian meal. I have zero interest in departing from the traditional foods. And like, I really like the simple things. There was a certain amount of trial and error with this. One year I made a chocolate pistachio pie, which was good, but it didn't seem quite right. Keith doesn't like pumpkin pie, which is something I still really struggle with. Just the other night, we were going to get groceries for this year's Thanksgiving dinner. And I asked him, "You don't like pumpkin pie, right?" I mean, I've known he doesn't like pumpkin pie for 16 years. But I figure it never hurts to check in. For a long time, we couldn't figure out the stuffing. Tofurkeys, which are the vegetarian turkeys, are what we made at first. And they come with a meager amount of stuffing inside them, but it's not very satisfying. We bought the tofurkey feast that comes in a box with the roast and the stuffing and vegetarian gravy, and also this weird tofurkey jerky thing that I think was supposed to be like a wishbone you could pull apart. So if you felt sad that you couldn't snap a bird's furcula in two to see if your fondest wish would come true for the year, this is what they offered you. I guess what I'm trying to say is the tofurkey feast is not that great. But eventually we got it to come together. We have our own rituals now, including where we shop for the ingredients. None of my recipes are family recipes. They're all things we've picked up over the years from here and there. And they are not fancy. No roasted fennel, chestnut puree, or celery root. I guess I'm not a foodie. But here is our menu. For turkey, we make a field roast, which is, in my opinion, a higher caliber tofurkey. I make a vegetarian version of stuffing that has chopped up spicy vegetarian sausages in it and uses veggie broth instead of chicken broth. I want to note that I make a huge pan of this that lasts for days, so we no longer feel like we have to skimp. Because when I was growing up, the stuffing was hands down my favorite part of the meal. And I would have like 3 or 4 helpings. We make Martha Stewart's recipe for mashed sweet potatoes. New this year, I'm going to make mushroom gravy for the first time. And for dessert, I make an apple cranberry custard pie I got the recipe for from a Better Homes and Gardens magazine in like 2010. And we have it with vanilla ice cream, and it is delicious. We always make a run to Whole Foods for some of our ingredients, and the only reason we go there is to get this field roast. But we end up buying other things just because we can and we always have. Here's some audio from this year's trip.
Traffic's heavy.
Traffic is heavy approaching Whole Foods.
There's a Humvee approaching Whole Foods.
Humfoods. What do you think it says about you if your big action on a Friday night is a trip to Whole Foods?
That you like food.
That you like to eat. You value eating.
Yes. That you have a list of things you'll spend money on, and it includes food.
I know your things. These are the things. Books. Restaurant eating. Groceries. Kitchen items. Like cooking things. Utensils.
I suppose.
And you like that. You don't put up a fuss when we want to buy new kitchen stuff.
Yeah.
And as discussed previously, in the negative column for you is clothing and medical bills.
You know, yeah.
Medical bills.
You forgot travel in the okay column.
Oh, travel is in the okay column. All right, we're about to see how busy it is at Whole Foods. Oh, no. Well, I see spots. I see parking spots. So we're inside Whole Foods now. And first, had to go to the bathroom. Because I guess Whole Foods makes me have to pee. And then, now we just got... I got some organic Granny Smith apples, which I insist upon getting every year. Even though for the rest of the entire year, I eat apples that are not organic.
Can't argue with results, though.
But, yes, I've always used the same apple from Whole Foods for my pie. And so I cannot break with tradition. So I just got a bunch of them. And then we got some dried porcini mushrooms. Because Lynn Rosetta Casper said on her Thanksgiving special last year to put them in the roaster when you're doing your vegetables to make gravy. I have no idea how this is going to work, but if she says to get them, I get them, I guess.
I'll hail the LRC.
Gorgonzola picante!
Big sale on gorgonzola picante. Now we begin the cheese ritual where we just walk around the cheese case. Ooh. And you can't just look at the cheese. You actually have to touch it all for unknown reasons.
It's like a cannonball of cheese.
Can never pick out what kind of cheese we want. I think we're into goat's cheese territory. Goat's milk.
Here we're in the Gouda.
Ooh, Gouda.
Young Gouda.
I love Gouda. Young, old, I like all the Goudas.
I thought at first that said it was a crass Gouda.
Oh, that's a crass Gouda.
Just scratches its balls all the time.
Here's a good farmer's cheese. Swedish farmers made this cheese. $3 at Whole Foods?
Let's get this little wedge of Swedish farmers just because they're basically giving it away.
Yeah, they're giving it away tonight. Let's get it.
Get the cops
away. Get it. Okay, I just got my dried cranberries. Again, I always get them here, and they're always expensive. They're $11.99 a pound, but I don't need a whole pound, so there you go. But I could just get the ones from the regular grocery store, and it'd be cheap. But I started out using these, and so I always use them.
Again, you can't argue with results.
So I just secured the cranberries. And we got our roast.
The last encroute.
We got the last encroute. I think we're saying that wrong.
Encroute.
It's a vegetarian hazelnut cranberry roast. Encroute. By Field Roast. And it says made exclusively for the holidays. Well, so we know we got the right thing.
Yes.
Okay, we're done at Whole Foods. That probably only took us like 15 minutes. And there was, like, hardly anyone there. Except every time that I wanted to record something, then there was someone there being annoying. But I got points for buying the dried mushrooms from the person who bagged our stuff. She said that I was being very adventurous, making my own mushroom gravy, so I feel kind of good about myself right now.
You were asking what kind of person goes to Whole Foods on Friday night. Now we know it's an adventurous person.
It's an adventurous person. A foodie. You're my lady.
You're my lady.
We're each other's ladies.
That works out pretty well.
In a way, I guess it's kind of a funny meal for vegetarians because it features few vegetables. We generally don't make a salad because I don't want to get too full to cram in a lot of stuffing. We don't roast up any fall veggies, which, like, I feel like I'm really coming clean here. I'm a vegetarian and I don't roast any vegetables for Thanksgiving. We don't even make a vegetable on the side because I always hated the vegetable on the side when I was growing up because someone would always make you take some. Like, they would make you take some. We don't make the green bean casserole because that's disgusting. I would like to make my own cranberry sauce at some point, but I figure there's no pressure. It can be added anytime, whenever I get around to it. I mean, I've been thinking about making mushroom gravy for 3 years, and this is finally the year I'm going to do it. We just eat big plates of comfort foods we love and call it good, because this is one of the joys of being an adult. The other big joy of being an adult is sitting on your couch, the one you custom ordered and waited 10 weeks to arrive, with your pants unbuttoned. Although I guess, since this year we're having Thanksgiving with friends, I will maybe skip the unbuttoning part. Although probably not, because I own a lot of oversized shirts. We have recommendations for movies you can watch this holiday weekend, movies you can watch with your family. Actually, Keith is here with some movie recommendations.
Yo.
And his recommendations are, well, why don't you tell them?
Well, so my idea, you know, if you're watching with the whole family, you probably can't watch the movies you really like because that'd freak them out or bore them.
What? Not everybody.
No, but, you know, the bigger the group, the more you've got to kind of play it safer. So I tried to think of some movies that are pretty good. And, you know, they won't freak people out like Dr. Strangelove or, you know, alienate and bore them the way I did that with Rushmore with my parents once.
Okay. And then I have some other recommendations at the end, but you should go first. So what do you have for us?
Okay. I'm starting out with just the ultimate layup in this category. The Shawshank Redemption.
No, I know. Not the Shawshank.
Well, I mean, it's the definition of a pretty okay movie. It's,
what? You know, now some people are going to be up in arms because a lot of people love that
right,
movie.
Exactly. Like, society seems to think it's like the best thing ever. And really, it's just pretty solidly not bad. You know, the other thing is, like, it's on so much that you're probably going to end up watching it whether you set out to or not.
Right. Okay. So you can all get behind it. And in the end, it's kind of feel good.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
The next thing is, this is Spinal Tap. Here's the thing. I might be wrong about this. I'm probably wrong about this. There's probably a cognitive bias thing here.
I can't really see my dad being into This is Spinal Tap.
Like, objectively,
I think he wouldn't get the joke.
Objectively, I know you're right. But subjectively, I just can't imagine anybody not liking
it. Not liking
it? I'm just not. I can't. The images just don't come.
Okay.
Let's see. Next, I had Raising Arizona.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's the Coens, so there's someone out there it'd alienate. But this is kind of the anti-Rushmore. I've got empirical evidence here that this is a movie that, you know,
you can all rally behind, yeah, or what? You all can find something funny?
It was huge in Blair, Nebraska, up on the hill where the college folks lived, and down in the valley where the proles lived.
Okay.
There's a lot of screaming in it, though, so you got to be ready for that.
Okay.
The last one I had was Dazed and Confused.
Oh, I don't know about that.
What? I guess. If anybody doesn't want to watch,
well, what about like grandparents? Are they going to be into Dazed and Confused?
I think it's 2015. I think they would. You know, at this point, grandparents were there for the 70s.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were always there. Yeah. But are they going to relate?
I don't know. Well.
Okay, Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused.
Now, what? Where is Titanic on this list? I've noticed it's missing.
I just couldn't do it.
That's it? But it's like the biggest holiday movie.
But imagine yourself sitting through Titanic.
Well, yeah.
You got to leave a little bit of yourself in here, too.
Okay. So are those all your recommendations for family movies?
Pretty much. I mean, the other like bonus layup, depending on the crew, is The Princess Bride. It might be overdone. It might, you know,
well,
some
families.
Well,
no, that's a classic.
I agree.
Yeah. That's always going to fly.
Yeah.
Well, I also came up with some movies, but in this scenario, your family isn't really there. It's just, you know, you want to chill out and you're feeling kind of sleepy and you want to have some background noise.
And you don't want it to be football.
Right. And so I came up with the most boring movies that I could think of that you don't have to feel bad about falling asleep when they're on. Number one, top picks, all the big Kevin Costner movies. So Dance with Wolves, Waterworld, and The Postman. I believe that I have fallen asleep during Waterworld and The Postman, and I can testify that they're great to fall asleep to. And you really don't, you're not missing anything in your life when you wake up and you're like, I miss The Postman. Because I never went back and watched them either.
I think the one quibble with that is that you could not fall asleep to Kevin Costner's Robin Hood because it's so awful.
That you'd probably want to stay awake
for.
You'd
just be awake and laughing the whole time.
Number two, I'm putting all those as number one. Number two is Monuments Men, which we tried to watch and we only made like 10 minutes. Because all of a sudden I realized that, I don't know, like it was really hard to make that dramatically interesting. Yep. And I could tell we were in for a real snooze fest. Number three is The Dark Knight Rises. This pretty much made me give up on trying to see action or superhero movies. I find them really boring overall. And I'm pretty sure I could sleep through The Dark Knight Rises.
I wish I could have slept. I was just mad.
Oh, yeah. Then I have Funny People.
You're wrong.
I know we disagree, but I just felt like this went on forever.
It could have.
Forever.
Could have been trimmed, but it's a good movie.
No, you can see through it. Across the Universe.
Yeah.
This is the film that is centered on songs by the Beatles. It's like kind of a musical. We tried watching it as a family 1 year over Christmas, and I pretty quickly went into like the spare bedroom and fell asleep. So I can testify, you can sleep through this, even with the music.
The dog just fell asleep behind us just from you talking about it.
And then I have the movie Car Wash. Mm. I thought this was going to be campy fun, but it was really boring. And it was like, what are we doing here? It's described as a day in the life cult classic, but it's kind of illustrates that like day in the life just isn't that interesting for most people. My final pick. I know this is going to be blasphemous.
What do you got?
For some people, the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah.
Could sleep through that entire thing. And I was thinking if you could somehow set them to play back to back to back. You could have a solid night's sleep on the couch and wake up in the morning and the whole thing would just be a dream.
You know, like I feel like I'm not supposed to agree with you, but I agree
with
you.
But you secretly do.
No, I openly do.
And there you have it. Those are the movie picks for your holiday weekend. Ever since I was a kid, I started my Thanksgiving morning with the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I was always eager to see my favorite floats and to find out if they'd added any new ones. Sometimes I was bitterly disappointed, and sometimes I was elated. I think it was partly the roller coaster of emotion that kept me coming back for more. That and the lip syncing and the dance numbers from Broadway shows and even the marching bands. This year I saw an announcement for the parade which included a quote from its executive producer. I mean, what would that be like to be the executive producer of the 89th Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade? She said, "This year, the holiday procession promises to deliver an unrivaled spectacle of magic for millions of spectators lining the streets of New York City and millions more watching it unfold in homes across the nation." Here is a list of the magical balloons that will be featured in this year's parade. We've got Adventure Time with Finn and Jake from the Cartoon Network. I have no idea what that is. Angry Birds Red Rovio Entertainment. Oh, I think it's Angry Birds, comma, Red Rovio Entertainment. I know what Angry Birds is. Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dino, the Sinclair Oil Dinosaur. It seems lame, but I guess there's precedent here. There have been several dinos throughout the years. I'm not sure which version they're on here, but it just keeps coming back for more. The Elf on the Shelf, Hello Kitty, How to Train Your Dragons Toothless, Ice Age's Scrat and His Acorn. I'm going to admit I don't know what that is. Paddington. Now we're back on safe territory. I am familiar with Paddington Bear. Pikachu, the Pokemon. Pillsbury Doughboy. Red Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. Just the red one. Skylanders Eruptor. Snoopy and Woodstock. Hooray! This one is really cute, you guys. And I'd be really sad if they didn't have it. SpongeBob SquarePants. And Thomas the Tank Engine. Looking at this list, I'm a little sad for the loss of some favorite balloons of yesteryear, now no longer featured in the parade. The creepy Uncle Sam from the 1930s, Bullwinkle, Kermit the Frog in all his various incarnations, Papa Smurf. I don't know that there ever was a Papa Smurf. Wikipedia says there was. I think there was just a Smurf. Olive Oil, who is listed as the first female character to appear as a float, or I'm sorry, as a balloon. Let me get my terminology right. As a balloon in the parade, making her appearance in 1982, thereby respecting Hello Kitty's gender neutrality. Hello Kitty appeared in 1976, but she is not considered to be the first female. I also miss Garfield, Big Bird, Bart Simpson, and Babe the Pig. What you might not realize is just how dangerous these balloons can be. Get them around trees, wires, signs, and especially wind, and really bad things can happen. I mean, no one's been carried off, and no one has been killed, thank goodness. But there is quite a list of accidents and tragedies associated with these balloons through the decades. And I find it pretty gripping. So I'm going to leave you on this holiday weekend with highlights from Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade balloon disasters through the years. The first ever balloon mishap was in 1927, which is the first year there were giant helium-filled balloons in the parade. When Felix the cat got caught in the telephone wire, in a telephone wire, I didn't mean to imply there was only one, and he caught fire, Felix was removed from the parade lineup, never to return. In 1928, the balloons were released when they reached the end of the march, just let go in the air, and they exploded after reaching a certain altitude. Rather than simply stop doing this, Macy's redesigned the balloons for 1929, released them again, and offered a prize for their return. So if you found them in your cornfield or like out in the woods or whatever, you could mail it back to them, I guess, on your dime, and they would give you a prize. Maybe they were trying to offer people distraction and hope after the stock market crash in October of 1929. People were probably pretty down, and finding a deflated balloon might have really raised your spirits. Skipping ahead to 1957, the Popeye the Sailor balloon's hat filled with water during heavy rain, which caused the balloon to veer off course and pour water all over the crowd. The balloon's hat was remade for the next parade. But balloon designers didn't seem to have learned any lesson from the Popeye mishap, because in 1962, Donald Duck's balloon hat, these balloon hats, also filled with water during heavy rain and drenched a crowd. In 1982, the Bullwinkle balloon sprang a catastrophic nose leak. I mean, you can imagine, if you know what Bullwinkle looks like, if you get a leak in that schnoz, things are going to go south. So he was just a few blocks shy of the finish line, and this nose leak just took him down. And I think that might have taken him out of commission forever, because I don't know if he ever made a return to the parade. In 1985, the Kermit the Frog balloon that they were using at the time tore at the stomach, spilling his guts everywhere. I'm just kidding. Balloons don't have guts. Maybe they should, though. It'd be amazing. And he crashed into a building, I guess, due again to heavy rain. No one was injured except Kermit. 1986 proved to be a particularly dangerous year when Raggedy Ann crashed into a lamppost and sent the lamp into the street. Superman had his hand torn off by a tree. Betty Boop collapsed onto the ground a few yards away from the finish line. Just couldn't make it over. Just couldn't do it. Betty Boop down for the count. And Olive Oil had her arm ripped off, but her hand remained standing. I don't know why this is included in the factoid, because it was a separate part. It wasn't all one. The hand was separate than the arm. So I don't understand. Like, the arm gets ripped off, but the hand stayed intact. And someone thought that we should make note of that. In 1989, gusting winds caused Snoopy and Bugs Bunny to be punctured by trees before the parade started, and they couldn't even begin their march. In 1991, Kermit the Frog, back on the scene, new Kermie, he collided with a tree and his head deflated. You know, Kermie's pretty accident prone. I don't know, maybe they've given up on him. In 1993, high winds pushed the Rex the Dinosaur balloon into a streetlight and caused his head to pop. The Sonic the Hedgehog balloon crashed into a lamppost at Columbus Circle and injured an off-duty police officer. The Bart Simpson balloon also had his t-shirt ripped open. And Spider-Man had his head partly deflated after colliding with trees. I think they need to cut all the trees down along the parade route. Clearly, this needs to happen. In 1995, the Dudley the Dragon balloon that was leading the parade was speared and deflated on a lamppost and showered glass on the crowd below. Sonic the Hedgehog caused some problems again when he careened into a lamppost. And Sky Dancer had her face deflated by a tree. I don't even know who Sky Dancer is, and I think it might not be a great loss that she had her face deflated by a tree. 1996, things took an unexpected supernatural turn when wind demons caused Woody Woodpecker's left hand to get ripped off by a tree, sending an ominous message from Satan to all Woody Woodpecker fans. Okay, the wind demons, that is actually listed on Wikipedia. I mean, I think obviously it's like some kind of joke or whatever, but that's what it says. It says in 1996 there were wind demons. I mean, why not just make them be in the parade? That's something people would watch. And now we've arrived at the most catastrophic year in the parade's history, 1997. Actually, there was a real tragedy this year when high winds pushed Cat in the Hat into a lamppost and broke it off, and the falling debris hit a parade goer, fractured her skull, and left her in a coma for a month. There is silent video on YouTube of this crash. It does not show the woman being injured, but there's silent video of the lamp crashing down after the Cat in the Hat careens into it. And what happened after this is size rules were implemented in 1998, and larger balloons like the Cat in the Hat were eliminated. The same high winds also caused the New York City Police Department to have to stab and stomp down the Barney balloon. Now there is some poetic justice. There is video of this. This out of control Barney with sound. You know, so he's looming over this crowd, and every time he does, they just scream. And the balloon handlers are just panicked, and they're on the ground trying to pull this thing, and he's still just careening back and forth. And finally, like, a hole rips in his side, and he's completely out of control. And the police just descend on Barney and just begin methodically stabbing him until he is just a shell on the ground. I'm not making this up. This video will be posted on notshallow.org should you care to watch it, which of course you do. Why wouldn't you? They also had to stab the Pink Panther to death because of crowd concerns. I imagine that the Pink Panther was also pretty tall, kind of in the same ballpark as the Cat in the Hat. And many other balloons, like the Quick Bunny, which is like that bunny that's on the chocolate mix stuff, the chocolate Quick Bunny, Chloe the Holiday Clown, I have no idea, and Sonic the Hedgehog. Are you seeing a theme here? They all deflated by lampposts. So these accidents actually caused the last balloons in the parade, something called Eben Bear and Ms. Petulia Pig, to be removed from the parade, even though they are not damaged. So obviously that is a dark, dark year in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade history. Jumping ahead to 2004, Garfield and Clifford the Big Red Dog were snagged by trees. No damage was done to Clifford, but Garfield suffered damage to his left paw. Additionally, Charlie Brown almost crashed into a streetlight as gusty winds pushed him dangerously close to it, and SpongeBob SquarePants, again, snagged on a lamppost at Times Square, but was freed. In 2005, the M&M's balloon caught on a streetlight. I mean, what? Come on. Too many streetlight and lamppost problems. Unfortunately, two sisters were struck by the falling debris and suffered minor injuries. More new safety rules introduced. I don't know what we're doing here. In 2006, balloons were lowered because of rain and high winds. The M&M balloon was retired. They just had enough of it, like the rest of us, and was replaced by a float saluting Broadway theater and musicals, which is like... Additionally, the Barney balloon, I don't understand how there is any Barney, but they must. So this is Barney 2.0, nearly blew away, and his foot got ripped by a streetlight. In 2008, a Keith Haring inspired balloon was taken over by the angry ghost of Keith Haring and hit the NBC broadcast booth, sending the hosts off air for a few minutes. In 2012, the Buzz Lightyear balloon tore a massive hole in the helmet, and its helmet got caught and was caught later on tape floating in a nearby river. I think I need some kind of fact checking on that. Sorry, I didn't bother to fact check that. Did Buzz Lightyear really end up in the river? SpongeBob SquarePants and Pikachu balloons were not inflated very well that year. Kind of a very flaccid SpongeBob and Pikachu. It's sad. In 2013, the Spider-Man balloon had his left arm become partially deflated after impacting a tree along Central Park. Sonic the Hedgehog also got his left hand caught on a lamppost, but it was free. Buzz Lightyear balloon buggies ran over a female balloon handler, injuring her foot. All right, so I think we need to retire Sonic the Hedgehog forever. I know he didn't make the cut this year, obviously, so he's out. Anyway, fingers crossed that it's a safe year out there for all these balloon handlers, which I found out, you know, I had to go find out, like, well, how do you become a balloon handler? And they're unpaid positions saved, it said, for Macy's employees and select family and friends. Each balloon requires 50 to 100 volunteers, but half of the balloon handlers and 98% of balloon captains and pilots hold on to their spots year after year. Which, duh. I mean, that's like the ultimate cool thing to be, right? Especially if you're involved in some kind of Barney catastrophe where they come out and stab Barney to the ground. I mean, no one's giving up balloon captain. But anyway, here's wishing all the handlers and captains and pilots of balloons a good year and lots of Frango chocolates at the end of their route. And now I need to go eat some pie. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. Eat good food, fall asleep on the couch, read a book while sitting in a comfy chair, and tell people you love them and that you're thankful that they're in your life. Can't stop thinking.